right-footed kicker. Snap good, spot down, right-footed kick with a tunnel leg. Get in there! Yes! Welcome to the NFL, Blair Walsh. It's 23-23. We're going to overtime in the regular season opener. Let's go!
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening and welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park. Indeed, I'm Paul Allen, happy to be joined by head coach of the undefeated Minnesota Vikings, Leslie Frazier. Thanks to Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. Hello, Coach Frazier. How are you?
Good to see you, PA.
Quick review. What needs to improve off the Jacksonville game into the Indianapolis game?
One of the things that stuck out was, our four-minute offense. I thought we could have done a little bit better in the situation that we had in the ball game on Sunday, along with our two-minute defense at the end of the ball game. So both of those areas we'll need to improve as we go forward.
You're going to watch the Bears and the Packers tonight out of one eye as you're looking at film of the Colts out of the other eye?
Yeah, we'll get a feel for that score at least, just to see how things are going.
When you watch football games, are you able to watch them just to watch them, or do you, at this stage of your career, do you have to watch everything critically?
It's hard just to watch it for entertainment purposes. You try to, but you end up critiquing things or looking for certain things. So
yeah.
When you do get a chance to watch, it's not very often get a chance to watch.
Obviously never rooting for injury. You would just like to see a very physical game, teams beating each other up, and we'll see what happens from there.
Exactly. You're never rooting for injury and just seeing what the outcome of the game will be.
Yeah, the Packers and the Bears follows Vikings Live at Winter Park on the flagship FM 100.3. Your quarterback, Christian Ponder. What was the biggest difference with him, Leslie, between halves one and two?
I think it's just a part of his maturity, just the fact that he did not get down on himself with a slow start early in the ball game. His rookie year, I think it probably would have been a little bit different. He would have struggled to get out of that situation in the second half. But instead, he came in at halftime, really thought about some of the things he had done well. And I think that two-minute drive, Paul, right before the half, did a lot to increase his confidence. And we came out the second half. He was on fire. I think he was like 17 of 20 the second half, which was great.
Yeah, and that was a big play to Aroma Shadu and Rudolph at the end, obviously setting up Walsh for the 55-yard boom to tie the game. Then Blair wins it from 38 after your team played good defense to stop the Jaguars. And back to Christian for a second. He is being very hard on himself with the public and the media about the way he started, and he needs to get more mad. But it was a very unique first half after that 9.5-minute drive. Mm-hmm. Not only does it tire out the defense, I would imagine, but it takes the offense out of rhythm too, correct?
Oh, it does. It does when that happens. And I've been in situations like that where an opposing team can hold the ball for a period of time. But when you're a good offense, you're a good team, you'll overcome that. And we're finding ways to overcome that. I saw it happen so often when we were in Indianapolis. That was people's strategy, as you recall, Paul.
Yep.
Keep it away from Peyton. And they would have some drives. But once our offense got on the field, they executed, and we were able to overcome it.
Leslie, do you find with Percy Harvin that he kind of has that Where's Waldo thing going with him that Brian Westbrook used to have with the Philadelphia Eagles, where Brian lined up in the backfield as a running back, but then he'd go slot right or left? Percy's a receiver by trade, but he comes to the backfield. What type of coverages does Percy Harvin see?
Well, I mean, people are always trying to come up with new ways to defend him because we move him around so much. So it creates problems for defenses. I think Bill Musgrave does a great job in just scripting plays that will make defenses have to adjust to where Percy is. And it's funny you say Brian Westbrook because I remember those days being in Philadelphia, and that's exactly right. We move him around different places because he was such a lethal weapon on offense, just like Percy, catching the ball out of the backfield, running the ball out of the backfield, lining him up in the slot, putting him out wide. Percy is a unique talent.
Leslie, your offensive line, correct me if I'm wrong here, but that may have been one of the best overall offensive line performances that we've seen here in quite some time.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, they did a great job in the run game, opening up holes for Adrian along with Toby, and the pass protection was very well throughout the day. We had very few mental errors. just a great start for our young offensive line.
Christian have a pretty clean pocket the majority of the game?
Yeah, most of the game, and he hardly got touched. There were a couple occasions where things got a little hairy for him, but for the most part, our line did a great job protecting
him. Your rookie, Matt Khalil, what did he do well?
You know, Matt played with a lot of poise throughout. I mean, never got rattled throughout the game. As you know, he came up with a big play in blocking an extra point, which is huge. But yep, as an offensive lineman, he did a terrific job all throughout the game.
Yeah, and he had 7 at USC and I think 4 when he was in high school. There's more to just being big, though, to blocking those kicks, right?
Yeah, you got to be a pretty good athlete. You got to be able to understand timing, you know, when to get my hands up, what kind of leverage I need to have on the opposing player. So there's more to it than just being a tall guy.
John Carlson, Litchfield, Minnesota. How close is he to being 100%, and how did he come out of the game?
I was just talking to him early this morning as we were walking through the weight room. He's really coming along. I think this week, much more so than any other week that we've had him. He's as close to 100% as he's going to be. So we're looking forward to big things from him in this ballgame.
With Jerome Simpson suspended the first 3 back for the Lions game, what are the rules on the contact with him? I mean, is anybody able to talk to him about the game, or what's the situation with Jerome?
Well, the league is allowing us to have him in our meetings and be around his teammates, so
excellent,
which is great for us because he's still picking up information, still being around his teammates. What he's not allowed to do is practice with us.
Okay.
When he works out, he has to work out away from his teammates. So other than that, you know, he's around the building. He's a part of our meetings, and, you know, he's hearing information. He's getting the game plan, just can't participate.
That's got to be difficult for him, right, specifically after an emotional victory in the home opener.
Oh, no doubt, to not be able to go out and contribute. He's a great competitor, so it's hard for him. But fortunately, we're going to get him back here pretty soon.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. It's Vikings Live from Winter Park each and every Thursday on the Vikings Radio Network. Devin Aromashadouf, fellow wide receiver to Jerome. How did he wiggle free with 20 seconds to go?
I tell you now, Devin, he came up with some big plays for us late in that ball game, and that catch he made in that clutch situation is as big as any for us. It put us in a position where the next completion, of course, got us where we needed to be for the field goal. So the route was a terrific route by him. They played a coverage that allowed us to get inside, and, yep, and for him to make the play, that's kudos to Devin.
So where did Jacksonville bite on that play? I mean, I can't exactly remember who was in the game, but Percy Harvin had a huge game. Rudolph was 5 of 67.
Right.
Was the focus there, and then here comes Devin crossing the field?
Yeah, he was able to get behind the underneath coverage. I mean, in that situation, I don't want to be coaching their players, but
yeah,
you want to be a little bit deeper because our offense, we have to get no chunks in that situation. So you don't want to give up a 20-25-yard completion.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they played a little bit shorter. We were able to get behind the linebackers, and he made a great play.
But then you need Christian to find it instead of forcing it into a guy who's had a bigger game. So Christian, like in that Niners preseason game, he looks left, but there's Steven Burton on the right early in the game. So your quarterback had to be patient and know, obviously, what the defense looked like, what the probability was with Aromashadouf eventually getting open. That's an excellent play by Christian Ponder.
One of the best plays, without question, of his young career. And even when he gets to be a 10-year vet, he'll look back at that play and say, boy, it's going to be hard to top that.
Yeah.
Because everything you mentioned, Paul, is exactly what happened on that play. He looked away from where he was going to throw. He didn't eyeball the receiver, didn't draw the defenders to the receiver that we wanted to get the ball to.
Yep.
And when his back foot hit, he hits, made a throw right on target. I mean, it was just a great job by Christian.
Your kid kicker, the rookie from Georgia, Blair Walsh, 4 of 4, hits the 55-yarder, wins it from 38. Obviously cold-blooded, NFC Special Teams Player of the Week. But the kickoffs and the kick coverage were terrific.
Yes.
What a great debut.
Yeah, and that was part of why we drafted him. Those kickoffs in college, I mean, his leg was so strong, and that was an area where we were deficient. You know, drive starts were a big problem for us, and so as we were evaluating that position, we said, how can we improve our drive starts? We don't want opponents starting at the 30-yard line, 35-yard line.
Yep.
And, man, Blair has done a terrific job throughout the preseason. Then he did it again in the first regular season game. So he's made our team much better by being able to kick the ball out of the end zone at times and deep enough where we can cover it.
Kick returns obviously were pretty good too. Percy Harvin from 9 deep in the end zone. I think he went for 35. Hmm. Percy came out from 9 deep. Do you support that?
Oh, yeah, because every time he touches it, you're saying there's a possibility of a 109-yard return, which
that's
we've
awesome.
Seen out of him. So, yeah, there's. I mean, if he feels it, we want him to bring it out.
So just with Percy, just if it's super high and 9 deep, than Percy knows, because he's done it so much for kick return touchdowns. So Percy knows exactly when to come from nine out and when not.
Oh, yeah. He's able to judge the ball. He knows if the coverage team can get down in enough time because of the height of the kick. And if it's a line drive kick and it's 109 yards, we'd like to take that.
Your safety, Harrison Smith, was he a little overwhelmed by the speed of the game early, but as the game went on, he became more comfortable?
Maybe to a degree early on, which you would expect out of a rookie. But as the game went on, you could see him really settling in. And when he made that big play late in the game on a tip ball in overtime, that was huge.
When he left his feet?
When he left his feet diving for the ball, you got a sense that, you know, he was saying to himself, you know, I'm here. I'm no longer a rookie, and he played like that.
Aaron Henderson is the communications guy from a linebacker standpoint. He's the green dot guy. Why is it him and not like Chad Greenway if they both play every play of the game?
Well, what happens is when we get to our nickel defense, Aaron is the guy who calls the defense at that point. So we want him to have the green dot on his helmet at that point. Chad is another linebacker who's in coverage for us, but he's not calling the defense in that situation.
Josh Robinson and Brandon Burton split the nickel role. Why?
Well, one of the things we wanted to be able to do with Josh is bring him along slowly, but eventually, you know, we'll see. But we hope that he'll be a guy that can eventually be a starter for us. And Brandon, the same way. We want to bring those guys along, give them a few reps along the way, and this is part of doing that.
Anything new with A.J. Jefferson, the guy for whom you traded with Arizona?
We think he'll have a chance of being up and ready to go this week. He's
Excellent.
Much more familiar with our defense now, and he's practiced well. So we're going to make a decision later in the week.
Why was he available via trade?
You know, it's hard for us to – well, we have our own summations of why we think, and we felt like it was because of the depth they had at the position and the draft that they just had as well. But he's a talented guy, and he's done very well in our league. And you know, it's hard to get corners that can cover man and play zone at the same time, and he's one of those guys.
Is he a guy that will be better in coverage, or is he – because he's kind of tall. Mm-hmm. And is he a better physical – man-to-man type cornerback?
Exactly. You know, he's a press corner who can also play off, but he is definitely best at the line of scrimmage, and we kind of need that on the back end.
A couple of quickies to close for the Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. What went so wrong for the Colts at Chicago?
Well, you have to credit Chicago's defense from a defensive standpoint. They did a great job up front of really taking it to Indianapolis Colts offensive line. And then Chicago's offense is explosive, Paul. I had a chance to watch some tape. They've got some weapons surrounding Jay Cutler now. So it wasn't so much what Indianapolis didn't do. It's just that Chicago did a very good job at home on that day.
How does the rookie Andrew Luck look?
I was impressed with some of the things that I saw. I mean, he was harassed most of the day, but he kept his poise and his composure, made a lot of nice throws along the way, really did a good job of running our offense. I think he's going to be a very good quarterback in our league.
I think he targeted Reggie Wayne 18 times. Mm. What else do they have offensively?
Well, they got a few other guys. I mean, Austin Collie is going to be a guy that we'll have to deal with. T.J. Hilton is a guy that they drafted. T.Y. Hilton, very fast. Guy who can make some plays in the pass game. They have a running back in Donald Brown that you have to keep an eye on. So they've got some weapons.
Hey, congratulations on going 1-0. Get your first road win this weekend, and thanks for joining the show.
Thank you.
That's Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. When we return, we'll find out exactly how the defensive line played. Brendan Daly, the defensive line coach, joins us, and this is Vikings Live from Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen, and protect the football season at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's football the way it should be. Play the VIP scratch game, and you could win a VIP experience. Buffalo Wild Wings discounts and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, and Minnesota Vikings defensive line coach Brendan Daly joins us now. Brendan, a late happy birthday to you, 37 years of age, correct?
Thank you. Are you doing your research, yeah?
Yeah, you had a birthday a couple of days ago. Nice to cap that thing off with a victory over the Indianapolis Colts. Nice little birthday gift potentially coming up this weekend.
It would be a fantastic one to start this thing 2-0.
Your NFL work began with a few years with Brad Childress here as assistant line coach, 3 with the Rams as defensive line coach. Now you're back here as the defensive line coach. Take us through from where you started, getting to St. Louis and coming back here. What's the experience been like?
You know, it's been tremendous. I've gotten an opportunity to work with a lot of good people, some great players, some great coaches. I've learned a lot through the process. I always kind of consider it a journey rather than a destination. But it's been a lot of fun, and it's been a tremendous opportunity that I'm thankful to have had.
As a journey compared to a destination, do you ever hope it becomes a destination? Because coaching can be such a vagabond business. Wouldn't it be great to find a destination, stay there for 10 or 15 years?
It would be phenomenal. You know, it's one of the hazards of this profession, I guess, or one of the necessary evils if you want to stay in it.
Yeah.
But certainly I've got young kids, and so to be able to plant roots and stay somewhere and be there for a long time, is definitely the goal, and win a lot of games while you're doing it.
From a family situation, does it ever get difficult, potentially having to uproot and move from like Minnesota to St. Louis back to Minnesota?
You know, it is difficult. You got to have the right family structure for sure, and the wife is critical to that process, obviously. But a little bit unique for me in being able to come back to Minnesota to a situation that I'm familiar with, a city that we loved while we were here, and a place we really enjoyed living in. So that eases that transition, certainly.
Did Leslie Frazier have a lot to do with that? He was the defensive coordinator when you were working hand-in-hand with Carl Dunbar on the defensive line. You go to St. Louis, and then you come back here. So I would imagine Leslie is a big fan of yours.
Well, you'd have to ask him, but he certainly respects me enough to hire me coming back here, I guess. So that says something about our relationship.
You spent 2009 in St. Louis. The Vikings went to the NFC title game. What'd you think of the Vikings that season, and how closely in touch were you with some people on this team?
You know, that was a fun thing to watch. It was difficult to watch at the same time because we were not having a very good year in St. Louis at that point. So I was kind of living vicariously through the Vikings that year, in some ways. And I kept in touch with a lot of people on the staff at the time. So it was fun to see the success. I was certainly disappointed that it didn't go further than where it ended. But fun to watch, certainly.
But I remember it was a move professionally you had to make. I mean, Brad Childress brought you in here, and you left to become a defensive line coach, granted in St. Louis, not the greatest team in the world at the time, but that's how the elevation of a career goes, correct?
It does. It does. And you got to be willing to make those moves, and that was a significant opportunity for me. I'm very thankful to Brad Childress, to Leslie Frazier, who helped me get that opportunity, and Steve Spagnuolo, who hired me in St. Louis. And it was a wonderful experience, a tremendous growth experience for me, and something I'm really glad I did.
Brendan Daly, Minnesota Vikings defensive line coach, is our guest on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Chris Long, defensive end for the Rams, jumped up under your coaching a great deal. In fact, he got paid with a big deal. What turned around for him while you were there?
You know, Chris was fun to watch progress. He came in as a young guy. Obviously, he was a high draft pick, second overall. Struggled a little bit his first couple of years, actually, and was fun to watch him work at the craft. And by putting in the work and finally seeing himself have success, it kind of became a little bit synergistic for him, and it snowballed, and he started to play really well this past season, and obviously they rewarded him by signing him to a new contract, which I was really excited for him to see him get. He earned it, I can tell you that. He went through a lot of scrutiny the first couple of years he was in the league.
Being Howie Long's son, is that difficult, being his son coming into the NFL? It might help you through high school and into college football, but when you get into the NFL,
nobody cares.
Right.
You've just got the name, and I've always said this is not a league that is a reputation and resume league. It really, that stuff doesn't matter. Where you came from and what you've done in the past is somewhat irrelevant to what you're going to do today. And we're all evaluated on a series of one-game weeks, or in the player's case, you know, one play at a time even. And so it really, you know, he's had to deal with that his entire life, and he dealt with it very well while we were there. But for all of these guys, everybody in this profession, what you've done in the past is somewhat irrelevant today.
How did your defensive line play against Jacksonville?
You know, I thought we had a solid outing. Excited about the way we did in several areas. I was a little disappointed in some of the pass rush, especially in the two-minute situation. I wish we would have been able to close that game out at the end of the regulation period there.
Right.
And some of the third and longs. And I think if you ask anybody in that room, their expectations are certainly higher than what it turned out to be on Sunday in some of those situations. We did a lot of great things as well.
So, what are a few things you would like to see improve this Sunday against Indianapolis?
You know, some of the consistency in the run game, and then the biggest thing to me is on third and long, we've got to create much more pressure on the quarterback. And not necessarily concerned about the sacks, although obviously we want the sacks,
yeah,
but affecting him more significantly with the rush.
Did Jared Allen get a clean jump off the line on that nullified sack, or was it just a good call?
You know, I'm going to go no comment on that. As a defensive line coach,
yeah,
you always think it's a good jump.
So he should be 21.5 from the record is what we're saying. Brian Robinson didn't get a sack, but was all over the place. He looked very fast. Brian looked very quick off the line of scrimmage. And I would imagine that he was singled a majority of the game with Kevin Williams and Jared Allen being on that line. So it looks like Brian, even though he didn't close on a sack, did what he was supposed to do.
He had some really good rushes. He had some productive downs for us, both in the run and the pass. He had, you know, one in particular that comes to mind, a critical third down in the fourth quarter where he ends up with a batted ball. And as soon as he came over to the sideline, I said, that, you know, every bit as big as a sack on that down right there. And so... really pleased with the way he played in the game on Sunday.
DeAndre Reed played inside for you a little bit. I believe four plays. How did he play?
Yeah, he went in there. You know, we were trying to keep guys fresh, and he came in there and did really exactly what you expect from DeAndre. Came in there in high energy, high motor, pushed the pocket for us, and gave us some productive play in those few snaps.
Christian Ballard played some. DeAndre Reed, as we mentioned. Everson Griffin goes inside when you go to nickel. So clearly the rotation we heard a lot about in the preseason was absolutely in play game one, including Jared Allen coming out a little bit. What did you see from that rotation through one?
You know, I was pleased with what we did. I think we've got to get a little bit more out of it than what we got, but and probably some different things need to be done on my part to be a little bit more intelligent about how we're and efficient, I guess, about how we're doing that. You know, you've got DeAndre and Everson and Christian that are playing a lot of special teams reps as well, and so, you know, me managing kind of their reps in terms of when they've just coming off covering a kick in those type of situations, TV timeouts, as crazy as that sounds, are important. In factoring that in. So, you know, I've got to help them a little bit in that regard.
Very interesting because Everson Griffin obviously is so good on special teams, specifically the coverage teams with his side and his speed, size and his speed combo. If he's playing 30 to 40 some odd plays for you early in the season with camp legs, that potentially late in the game could compromise him.
In some ways, yeah. And, you know, it was funny. We came in after the locker room, and obviously it was an emotional game and great to get a victory. But I looked at Everson, and you could see he was not spent, but he was well taxed during the game. And I said, you better get ready, big fella, because that's going to be what it is. You know, that's how we're going to process with this thing.
Is your best quarterback sacking line Robinson, Griffin, Kevin Williams, and Jared Allen?
You know, I think at this point it is. You know, it'll remain to be seen, though. You know, we're going to try and keep guys fresh, and you know, it may evolve to where we've got some different parts in there at times just based on how the flow of the game's going and where first and second down is.
Yep. A couple of quickies to close here for Vikings defensive line coach Brendan Daly. Jared Allen, is he open to leaving the game even for a play?
Yeah, he was great about it, and I think he understands what we're trying to get done, and he realizes that you know, wherever that pass rush situation comes up, he's going to be in the game. And the goal is to try to keep him fresh and to have him out there with, you know, the elite burst and the elite rush that he possesses in the critical situations.
You know, I know in football, capitalizing on weaknesses and finding mismatches is really what it's all about. So all week we've heard a lot about Indianapolis's left guard most likely being out. The right tackle has a concussion. What does Indianapolis's offensive line do well?
You know, I think they've been a group that's in a little bit of flux with the injuries that they've had. They do a nice job with some of their zone run schemes. One of the things that sticks out to you, they cut on the backside of things and are very aggressive when they're doing that, which we're going to have to deal with, you know, well on Sunday, or we're going to get gashed in the run game. They do a nice job with some of that stuff. That stands out to me.
With Andrew Luck, Brendan, what are some of the keys from a defensive line standpoint to getting a rookie off his mark?
You know, it's interesting. You watch him against Chicago, and he doesn't look like your typical rookie. He obviously is going to be a good player in this league down the road. There's no question about that. He's like all quarterbacks. When they've got a clean pocket, when he's got time and he can deliver the football with rhythm, he's really good. When he's forced to move and he's got some pressure in there, he does a nice job of stepping up and finding windows. But if you ask me, his accuracy declines in that situation. And that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to flush him out of the pocket. We're going to have to hit him. We're going to have to get him on the ground.
Last one for Brendan Daly. Christian Ballard, second-year defensive lineman from Iowa, seemed a bit overwhelmed at times last year. Is the game slower for him this year?
You know, I would say that's probably true. Christian has been tremendous with his work ethic, with the way he's approached the game, with the way he's battled through some of the adversity we've intentionally kind of created for him through the preseason. And hopefully we'll see that pay dividends for us down the road and as the season progresses.
Welcome back, my friend. It's great to have you back. Best of luck against the Colts.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Brendan Daly just turned 37 earlier in the week, trying to cap off a birthday week with a victory against the Indianapolis Colts. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Harrison Smith, the rookie from Notre Dame, congratulations on the victory against Jacksonville. You excited to go back to Indiana and play the Colts?
Yeah, definitely. It's actually the closest game to my house. I'm from Tennessee, so I think it's like a six-hour drive. So there'll be family and friends there. So I'm excited to go play.
What about friends from South Bend, like former teammates or anything?
No, I don't think anybody's going to make it down. They've got an away game the day before, so hopefully they'll get a win against Michigan State.
Yeah, they being Notre Dame, playing a very good Michigan State defense, and they being Notre Dame now playing more games against the ACC, had that big news about the deal they have with the ACC. You look at Coach Bray's team playing the likes of the North Carolina Tar Heels, Coach Krzyzewski, and Duke, even Maryland. So from a competitive standpoint, it's going to be fantastic for basketball. From a football standpoint, how do you look at it, Harrison?
I think it's going to be very competitive for the football team as well. The only thing is you might lose a couple rivalry games or historic games with other teams throughout the country. But I think it'll be overall a good move for the university.
So they're adding five games, correct?
That's what I saw.
Okay. So, I mean, but you can't lose Navy.
No, can't lose them. I mean, it'd be tough to lose SC and Michigan.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some that you're just going to have to skip, or maybe you can do every other year or something like that.
In-state games against teams like Purdue, maybe every other year, every 3 years, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in charge,
right?
Luckily, but hopefully they'll find a way to keep all of the games in some capacity.
Well, if I'm in the ACC, I'm tickled right now. I get the Notre Dame brand. I get the money that comes with Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. But if I'm Notre Dame and the athletic director, you know, with all due respect, the ACC is not making the SEC blush these days. You know, right. I know Florida State is getting along okay, and, you know, the Canes have kind of fallen on hard times a little bit of late, but this could also be some extra victories for Notre Dame to help elevate them up the BCS.
Yeah, I mean, there's some tough teams in the ACC. So, I mean, with college football these days, it's so volatile. Every year you see teams you never think are going to win take down, you know, the so-called powerhouses. So it's so up and down that there's so many good players now, good coaches. It's tough to be consistent and win every week.
Have you settled in? Are you excited to play in the NFL? I mean, like, you know, with your living conditions and living in a new state and just trying to find your way as a rookie in the NFL off the field.
Yeah, I mean, so far I've been pretty comfortable, you know, moving up here and getting used to Minnesota. I'm still, every now and then I'll get lost on the roads, especially if I go into new areas. But so far, it's been pretty good.
What was game one like for you? What do you think you did well, and what do you think are some things on which you need to improve?
I felt like I got into the flow of the game pretty well. It wasn't you know, too overwhelming, but at the same time, there's always going to be corrections in the game, and you know, there's some plays that out there, maybe some just like simple things that maybe I got too into the game and missed us, check here, check there. Which are things I can't do in the future.
I know that you're going to do whatever the scheme calls for. You know, you may have one idea of what you want to do, but nevertheless, whatever the defense is called, that's how you're going to play, certainly at this stage of your career. But who are some of your favorite safeties? I mean, like Rodney Harrison, hard hitter, sacked the quarterback like 30 times. Troy Polamalu's running all over the place. John Lynch was very good. Mm-hmm. Darren Sharper recently was a route jumper, had all those touchdowns the year the Saints cheated and won the Super Bowl. So who are some of your favorite safeties from, say, the last 10 years of football?
Yeah, me and my friends growing up were big Sean Taylor fans, when he was at
Sean Taylor
at Miami, right. He could do it all. Darren Sharper's, you know, he was obviously big, made a lot of plays on the ball. And now Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu are the guys that everybody's watching. And it's like every time you watch Ed Reed play, he scores a touchdown. It's unbelievable. He had one opening week, I think. And he makes it look so easy. So watching those guys is awesome. Just seeing the confidence they play with. you know, and they'll take their chances when they know they have a shot and they can do it without, you know, giving up a big play.
Ever interested in growing one of those big, thick, ratty Ed Reed beards?
I don't know if I can grow it quite like him.
You can hang out with Ed Reed and James Harden and get around. Maybe a great time with that beard,
maybe,
man.
Maybe I'll try to work on it in the future.
Harrison Smith, rookie safety for the Vikings, is on Vikings Live from Winter Park. We have the Colts this weekend. Colts 0-1. Harrison's team 1-0. From a safety standpoint, what's more fun if you could pick either one? Running up and blasting somebody and causing a fumble, you scoop up and get to the end zone, or being a route jumping safety and timing that thing up beautifully, jumping the route and going.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're both good. They both get everybody excited. At the end of the day, if you score, I think that's the biggest thing for the team. So both of those opportunities can do that. So really, I'll take either one. But there's something about, you know, stealing a ball away from a quarterback. It just gets him down, and it just feels so good as a defensive back, just robbing him.
You faced Andrew Luck in Stanford three times when you played for the Fighting Irish. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he was much more in control and just had things at a different level at the college level. Now in the NFL, sacked three times against the Bears. He was hit eight times, sacked eight times in the preseason. It's going to be a little more slow to go for him and a lot of rookies around the National Football League, maybe even you. What do you know about Andrew Luck that maybe can help us figure out how he's going to play this weekend?
Well, I mean, just playing against him in college, I saw that he's a guy that can do it all, can throw the ball all around the field, runs the offense well. And then, you know, he's a competitor. He's a tough guy, so he's not going to lay down. It's going to be tough to intimidate him. So he's just a guy that you need to bring your A game against. I don't think he really cares if he's a rookie or not. I know that's how I play. So I think he's a guy that you just got to come with your A game against.
What about that tight end, Kobe Fleener?
Yeah, he's you know, cut from the same cloth. They both, you know, they were teammates at Stanford, both similar type attitude, you know, come to work every day and just try to make plays. So,
Is Kobe fast? I mean, like, they have that other rookie, Dwayne Allen. Is Allen more of a quick twitch guy? Were Fleener's more of a fast down the field kind of guy?
I mean, if I had to decipher, I'd say Allen can, you know, he's kind of got some wiggle. You know, they can both run. I say in a straight line, I'd probably take Fleener. He's got some wheels, but Allen's kind of got that more side to side, that kind of wiggle.
Yeah. Harrison Smith, safety for the Vikings. Two quickies to close. Did you ever run into Toby Gerhart in college football?
Actually,
when he played for Stanford?
Yes, I did. And he ran for like maybe like 250 or something.
Did he run over you?
He never really got a shot to like just clean run me over. There was a play where he probably got the better of me, but he ended up falling down.
But it wasn't like getting
trucked. It was a tackle. He trucked a couple guys that game, and they weren't pretty.
Well, in the opener against Maurice Jones-Drew, did you, let's just put it mildly, did you misjudge one a little bit with how low he was with the trajectory?
There was one that he definitely got me on. I'm not even going to lie about. But honestly, when I watched the tape and I went back and I was like, all right, what can I do different next time I play him?
Yeah.
He's so low to the ground, yeah, and thick. There's not a good place to hit him. So,
well, he didn't have camp legs either.
I felt like I was actually low enough on the tackle.
Yep.
But I went to wrap up, but I couldn't wrap up because he's so wide. So I'm still working on that one.
Did they tease you in the film room when they watched that back?
A little bit. I mean, but at the same time, they were all like, hey, man, it's happened to all of us. Like,
yeah,
if you play at this level for any amount of time, it's going to happen to you. I don't care who you are. You know, favorite player, Sean Taylor.
Yeah.
I saw it happen to him a few times, so... I mean, it just goes with it. You just got to come back and make the play next time.
Excellent debut. Good luck against Indianapolis. Hopefully you guys go 2-0, okay?
Thank you.
Harrison Smith, rookie safety for the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. On Vikings Live at Winter Park, we appreciate safety Harrison Smith for spending some time with us, along with defensive line coach Brendan Daly, and of course head coach Leslie Frazier. Very jovial off the 1-0 start against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Leslie, head coach of the Vikings, kicks off Vikings Live at Winter Park weekly. Hey, by the way, be sure to join yours truly and Paul Charchi in tomorrow morning from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Roseville. It's the Friday Football Feast. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com or via my show page. That's the Paul Allen show page at KFAN.com. And speaking of .coms, a man who does excellent wobcasting, video work, and writing for Vikings.com closes Vikings Live at Winter Park each and every week. It's Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. Good evening, Mr. Wobby.
Good evening, Paul. What's happening?
Vikings culture thoughts.
I'm excited. You know, it's the last time we won in week one, it was 2009. We ended up being 2-0 going into the third game at home. Who did we play? San Francisco.
49ers, yep. Oh my heavens.
So we're on the same track again. It'd be a lot of fun if that was the case. That'd be a fun game to go into San Francisco and be 2-0. But we got to beat a Colts team at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yep.
A Colts team that was a little overwhelmed last week at Chicago, which is easy to do at Soldier Field. We go there every single year, and you talk all the time on your radio show 9 to noon about how tough it is to go into Soldier Field and play, and the Colts felt that. So I think it's fair to expect a little bit of a bounce back from the Colts, from Andrew Luck this week. The Vikings' job is to make sure the bounce back isn't big enough to yield a victory, and I think there are some advantages in this matchup that the Vikings can take advantage of and end up with a victory. It's just a matter of doing it.
You know, injuries and the injury information dissemination is so tantamount in the National Football League. To wit, in the Vikings-Jaguars game, they tried to make it seem like Maurice Jones-Drew was just going to be a changeup.
You're right.
We were trying to indicate that, hey, Toby Gerhardt's going to carry it 30 times.
Right.
So here comes Adrian, the beast, out of the tunnel. They introduce him. Now, this week, Vikings are good. Vikings health-wise are good up to the game. But for the Indianapolis Colts, their left guard, Joe Wrights, he's not going to play.
I don't think so. Knee injury.
And their right tackle, Winston Justice, practiced fully today, so he'll most likely play. But some of the big question marks here involve slot receiver Austin Colley,
right,
who would really, really help Andrew Luck. And I believe there's a good chance Austin's going to play. And Dwight Freeney has a high ankle sprain. He played 9 plays at Soldier Field. Dwight has yet to practice this week. But, you know, up to the game, from Leslie Frazier's standpoint, it's a major difference whether Dwight Freeney plays or not. Do you agree?
I totally agree. Now, Leslie knows about that, too, because he coached Dwight in Indianapolis. So he knows exactly what Dwight Freeney can bring to a ball game. I was looking up Dwight Freeney's career. I mean, he's been in the league for a decade now. He's got 102 sacks. I mean, he's been consistent and productive. If he doesn't play, it's a big deal for Indianapolis. And Indianapolis is bringing on this new defense, and we've been talking about this all day here at Winter Park, filming the game, the Vikings game plan and filming radio, and it's this new defense, a 3-4 look that their new head coach, Chuck Pagano, has brought from Baltimore. And Dwight Freeney is a guy that's a question mark. He's a great player. He's an all-pro in the 4-3. They have to figure out if he can play in the 3-4. Now, given how good of an athlete he is and how good of a football player he is, I won't be surprised if he can make the transition, but they say it's a high ankle sprain. If that's true, he might not play this week. Now, the cupboard is not bare behind Dwight Freeney. They have a former first-round pick that they can play. His last name is Hughes.
Jerry Hughes. TCU.
And then they have Addison, who can play there. So, and those guys are pretty good players, and they split snaps last week once Dwight Freeney left the game. So the cupboard isn't bare behind Dwight, but if he doesn't play, it's a huge presence in their defense that's not there, and the Vikings are going to have to figure out how they can take advantage of that.
I'm glad you brought up Chuck Pagano in the 3-4, because when we saw that San Diego Chargers 3-4, it was absolutely befuddling to us. In fact, I was a little frustrated with the lack of potency our offense had in that game off the Buffalo game.
Well, we got into a fight about it at the State Fair.
Yep, but and you were right, because you and then subsequently I did a little intel on it about what we were, or maybe more importantly, were not doing during that game. And, you know, Leslie Frazier told me in the taping of Vikings game plan or for this radio show earlier that, you know, Kyle Rudolph, he was the cat's meow all offseason. He had 3 catches all preseason.
Right.
Percy Harvin never went in motion in the third preseason game. It's, you know, because they know how important those guys are to the regular season plan, so they didn't want to show a lot in that San Diego game against that 3-4 defense. You know, these guys know 1,000 times more about it than I'll ever know. But I forever will respectfully disagree with that a little bit, because some of the best teams in the NFL – they, specifically when you have a second-year quarterback, they will run whatever play they want, whenever they want, no matter if you see it, because they need to perfect it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that wasn't a problem in trying to find Rudolph or Harvin in game 1 against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So I respect the approach, But nevertheless, this 3-4 we're going to face with Indianapolis, a little weak on the back end. Linebackers are missing their best linebacker in Pat Angerer, you know, even though they have a couple of defensive ends standing up now. But nevertheless, Chuck Pagano, very well respected for his defensive mind.
No question about it. I mean, going back to showing something in the preseason or not, Percy Harvin had 5 carries in week one.
Yeah.
He had 0 in the preseason.
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting listening to Pete Bursich break down some film on the taping of Vikings game plan. People can check that out this weekend before the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because he looked at the 3-4 defense, and one thing that he pointed out a play in the Colts-Bears game last week where the Colts were trying to isolate Mathis on one of the Bears' tight ends.
Kellen Davis.
Okay.
It was a brilliant play.
It was. Now, but, you always want to find ways to counter that. And you remember the first play of the Jaguars game. It was a screen to Kyle Rudolph, right? If the Colts are going to bring that same strategy where they're going to try and isolate Mathis on one of our tight ends or Hughes or whoever, I think the Vikings should counter that by running more screens to Kyle Rudolph. I mean, once Kyle Rudolph gets going, he's a hard guy to bring down.
And
that was the first play of the game. It went for 15 yards. Now, subsequently, our drive flamed out because we weren't executing well. But that's a heck of a way to start a drive, a 15-yard pass to Kyle Rudolph. And so I think what you have to do is game plan for an opponent and figure out what their weaknesses are, obviously. But I think you also want to figure out how are they going to attack us, and let's come up with a counter move. I think tight end screens or screens to Percy is going to be a great way to counteract this 3-4.
You know, you and I like to be amateur GM and amateur play caller and stuff like that when we get together 9 to noon at KFAN.com, the flagship for Vikings football. If you look at the Jacksonville win and what they did with Adrian running how he did, all of a sudden there's Percy in the backfield. Aroma Shadu with 2 big catches.
Showing up.
Yep. 1 massive catch at the end of the game.
Yep.
What's one thing you would like to see the Vikings employ in this game against the Colts they did not show against Jacksonville, something you feel would work against Indianapolis? Because I have a huge opinion on this, and I swear if they do it, we're going to gouge Indy for maybe a touchdown.
Wow.
You want me to go first while you think?
Well, I got one.
Okay, go.
I don't think I'm going to guess yours. I can't wait to hear what yours
offensively,
is.
Offensively, not defensively.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, one thing we didn't see, maybe it just wasn't there.
You're going to steal it.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, maybe. It's vertical shots deep down the field.
Nope, that's not mine.
And here's why. Mm-hmm. It's not a bread and butter of ours. That's why it's too bad we're missing Jerome. But I don't think it's a huge thing because that's not our bread and butter to beat a team deep down the field on the outside. It's going to be nice when Jerome gets back.
Correct.
But I think teams know that, and
I don't think
they expect it. And I think Devin can do it. Yeah. So if
because
it's
you
there,
can go play action to Adrian or Percy and get somebody to bite on a double move because you ran so effectively and efficiently against Jacksonville.
I don't want long foul balls, as the former head coach used to call them, where they're just errant passes.
Yep.
They have to be within reason, and they have to be accurate. But I'd like to see us take a shot deep because I don't want to disrespect the opponent, but I think these safeties can be had that the Colts have. The Bears certainly found a way to do it. Maybe we can, too.
And that plays into my take because with the fact that Dwight Freeney, I don't think is going to play. I'm just guessing he has a high ankle sprain. Robert Mathis, he's a very good pass rusher, and even standing up in this 3-4, I think Mathis will be okay unless you get him out in space. And with the safeties they have, Antoine Bethea, you know, he's had his moments. But I'd like to see Mr. Musgrave screen to Toby Gerhardt.
Oh.
Or run the angle route to Toby Gerhardt like they did in the Bills game when it went for 19, where Toby dashes right, cuts up the middle of the field left. Kyle Rudolph has already cleared out the middle of the field, so the safeties have to deal with him. Because when you watch the film, you don't see much with Toby Gerhardt.
Right.
I mean, you see some, I don't want to call them pedestrian, but nondescript plays, driving the pile, beating down minds and bodies, screen to Toby Gerhardt, or maybe some of those middle-of-the-field angle routes to number 32.
Well, this plays into something we talked about last week, and it's with Jerome being out. You know, that's a disadvantage because he's one of our better players. Jerome being out, we're going to figure out how to do things and move the ball a certain way on offense. And then in week 4, Jerome's going to come back. I think that gives us an advantage once week 4 comes because that's an added dynamic to our offense that other teams are not going to have prepared for.
That's going to be huge because it's going to open up so many more things for Kyle Rudolph, Percy Harvin, and the running game.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Jerome, you have to respect him going deep, and that opens up Percy on a shallow cross, a tight end screen to Kyle, the angle route with Toby that you talked about. And we could sit here for hours and talk more about it, and I love doing it. it, but I cannot wait for Sunday because this is a game the Vikings are gonna think they can win. They're going to go in confident. We're undefeated.
Yep.
To come home 2-0 and play San Francisco would be so much fun.
I hope we get there. All right,
too.
Thank you.
All right, see ya.
That's Mike Wobshaw. The Bears and the Packers are coming up shortly. That's a big spot NFC North game. That's on the flagship FM 100.3, The Fan. The executive producer of Minnesota Vikings football is Chad Abbott. We thank Jay Nelson, Joe Nelson, and Tim Cobb for producing Vikings Live at Winter Park. The motivation provided by the lovely Allison Wobshaw. And for all of us with the Vikings Entertainment Network and here at Winter Park, I'm Paul Allen. It's the Vikings and the Indianapolis Colts this Sunday at noon. Pregame on the flagship at 10 and on the network at 11. Thank you for listening to Vikings Live at Winter Park all across the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.